Welcome back, everybody, to another deep dive. This time, we're going to be jumping into the biblical account of King Ahab and his conflict with Ben-Hadad.
King of Syria.
The king of Syria, right. So we'll be looking at some sources that recount this whole kind of fascinating story, focusing on like a specific turn of events.
Right.
And basically, Ahab, I mean, he was known for his less than stellar choices, shall we say.
Yes.
He faces this seemingly insurmountable threat from Ben-Hadad, who demands like all of his stuff, all his riches.
Even his family.
And his family. But here's the thing. Despite his lack of faith, God steps in and delivers him from the Syrians.
Not just once.
Not just once, but twice.
Twice.
And so that leads to the question of why would God intervene for a king who, it seems, had turned his back on him?
Yeah, it's really interesting.
And that's what we're going to try to figure out today.
Absolutely. What's really fascinating to me is that, like, Ahab's predicament, it goes beyond just a personal conflict.
Okay.
To really get what's going on here, you have to understand, like, the geopolitical dynamics at play.
Okay, so set the stage for us. What was happening in this region at the time?
Well, Syria was under Ben-Hadad's rule. And they had this strategic position, right? They controlled vital trade routes, which made them like this dominant force. And they definitely wanted to expand their influence over Israel.
Okay.
And Ahab, instead of like trying to get stronger or seeking guidance from God, he basically just surrenders to Ben-Hadad's demands.
Wow. So he didn't even like try to resist?
No, not really.
That seems kind of surprising, even for Ahab.
It really does.
Yeah.
You know, you might be wondering, why wouldn't he at least try?
Yeah.
This passive surrender, it really speaks volumes about him. You know, he seems way more preoccupied with like his own wealth, his own comfort, than like the welfare of his kingdom.
Yeah.
Or importantly, seeking God's guidance.
Right.
Ben-Hadad, on the other hand, he's fueled by arrogance and this sense of invincibility.
Uh-huh.
He actually boasts that he's going to leave Samaria, Israel's capital, in ruins.
He sounds pretty confident.
I'd say overconfident. And this sets the stage for this, like, really unexpected turn of events.
Okay.
A prophet, distinct from the, you know, more well-known prophet Elijah,
yeah,
appears before Ahab with a message from God. And that message is, victory is coming.
Whoa, that's quite a twist.
Right.
Considering he, you know, by all accounts, had not really earned this kind of divine intervention.
Exactly. This is like a pure act of grace.
Right.
Which is like this key theme that runs throughout the Bible.
Yeah.
God's actions often go way beyond what we as humans think is logical or expect.
Yeah, for sure. So how does Ahab react to this news? Is he like immediately filled with faith and gratitude?
Yeah, not quite. At first, he's actually pretty skeptical.
Oh.
He even questions, like, who's going to lead the army against these huge Syrian forces?
Right, right.
And God's answer is kind of surprising. He chooses not, like, these super experienced guys, the veterans, but, like, the young, inexperienced lieutenants.
That's a bold move.
It is. Kind of makes you wonder, why would God choose this group?
Yeah.
They seem weaker. And this really resonates with, like, a recurring theme in the Bible.
Yeah.
You know, God often uses what we perceive as weak or insignificant to actually get his stuff done.
Yeah.
This strategy, it challenges all those human assumptions about power and strength.
So it's not just about winning this one battle. There's something much deeper going on.
It's about showing God's sovereignty.
Okay.
Showcasing his power in these unexpected ways.
Okay. I am hooked. So tell me, how does this all play out? Do these young lieutenants actually win?
They do. And it's pretty dramatic. Ben-Hadad and his kings are, you know, having a party in their tents.
Okay.
And this small Israelite force, they launch a surprise attack. The Syrians, they're caught completely off guard.
Oh, wow. I bet that was a huge shock for Ben-Hadad.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Throws them totally off balance.
Mm-hmm.
The Israelites, empowered by God, achieve this, like, decisive victory.
So it really is a testament to God's ability to work through anybody.
Anybody.
Even people that society might overlook, underestimate.
Exactly.
Okay. Right. So what happens to Ben-Hadad after this defeat?
He barely escapes with his life. He flees back to Syria. But this is not the end of the story.
Oh,
in fact,
yeah,
this victory, it's just the first of two times that God intervenes on Ahab's behalf.
Wow, there's more. So even after experiencing this like display of God's power, the conflict isn't really over.
Not at all. And it's this second intervention that really shines a light on, you know, the deeper meaning behind God's actions.
I am on the edge of my seat. This is turning out to be way more complex than I initially thought.
Right.
Okay, so let's dive into that second intervention.
Yes. But first, We have to think about what the prophet says to Ahab after the first victory. He tells him to strengthen his position because there's going to be another attack.
Oh, okay.
This detail suggests the conflict's not really resolved. Mm-hmm. And it kind of hints at, you know, the cyclical nature of Ahab's choices. He's been given a chance to learn from this experience.
Yeah.
But the question is, will he?
Okay, so we left off with Ahab. He's like fresh off this huge victory.
Right.
A victory he, you know, didn't really earn, but it definitely shows God's power.
It really does.
So where does the story go from here?
Well, even with this miracle, Ahab doesn't actually change his ways. The sources describe him going back to his life like nothing happened, not really getting the impact of what God did.
Mm.
And just like that prophet warned Ben-Hadad, he regroups and decides to attack Israel again the very next year.
So this first victory, it was more like a pause button than a real solution, like hitting snooze on a problem instead of fixing it.
That's a really good way to put it. Ahab had a chance to think, to turn back to God, but he's just ignored it.
Yeah.
And that brings us to the second intervention.
Okay, what happens this time? Does God send another army of young lieutenants?
He does something even more unexpected.
Ooh.
God tells Ahab to gather his forces and fight the Syrians head on.
Okay.
But here's the thing. The Israelite army, way outnumbered.
Wait, so God's setting them up to lose? That doesn't sound like him.
It seems counterintuitive, right? But remember, God's ways, they're not our ways.
That's true.
This impossible situation, it's proving a point. It's not about how big the army is. It's about who's really behind it.
So another test for Ahab. Can he trust God's plan, even when it looks bad?
Exactly. And does he trust God? Well, he does follow the instructions. He leads his army against the Syrians. And even though they're outnumbered, the Israelites win. Big time.
No way.
The sources say it was a total rout. Huge losses for the Syrian army.
Wow, that's crazy. God's power, it can overcome anything.
It can.
But why do this? Why put the Israelites in that position in the first place?
Good question. It goes back to what we talked about, you know, God using the weak to show up the strong.
Right.
By winning through a small force, God's making a statement about his power, about being able to work through anyone.
So it's more than just saving the Israelites.
It is.
It's about God showing who he is.
Exactly. And the prophet says this very clearly. Then you will know that I am Yahweh.
Powerful words. God's actions, they're all about revealing himself to us.
They are. Showing his power, his faithfulness, even when we don't deserve it. Like, think about Jacob. He tricked his brother.
Right.
But God blessed him anyway. He became the father of Israel. Or Jesus, choosing regular people, fishermen, tax collectors, even outcasts, as his disciples.
Yeah.
God uses who the world thinks is unimportant to do his work. And that makes me ask, how is God working in our lives? Maybe in ways we don't even see. Are we open to that? To God's grace showing up unexpectedly?
That's a good challenge to check our own ideas and expectations. Be open to God working in ways we don't expect. It makes me think, how often do I try to control everything, rely on myself instead of God?
It's something we all struggle with. We like what's familiar, comfortable, even when it takes us away from God. But Ahab's story reminds us God's always working, even when we don't see it,
yeah.
Even when we don't deserve it.
That's humbling. And it makes Ahab's reaction or lack of reaction even weirder. He sees God's power, not once, but twice. You'd think he'd be thankful, want to change, but not really.
Sadly, no. Ahab doesn't really repent, doesn't truly thank God. He misses the whole point.
That's almost sad. God goes to such lengths, shows himself, gives Ahab a chance to understand, but Ahab just goes back to the same old stuff. It's
yeah.
like a warning about taking God for granted, getting comfortable and forgetting where our blessings come from.
It is. And that brings us to a big lesson from Ahab's story. It's about seeing God's grace in our lives and doing something about it.
I want to hear more about that. I think we all struggle with that, seeing God, especially when things are good, when we feel in control. So how do we not be like Ahab? How do we be thankful and see God working even in the everyday stuff?
That's the big question. And it leads us to how these old truths apply to us today. But before we get into that, let's just think for a minute. What stands out to you from this story? Any thoughts, any questions coming up as we talk about all this?
You know, it's amazing how much Ahab's story is like our own lives. We've all had those times where we've seen God bless us.
Right.
Maybe even seen him work miracles. But we still go back to our old ways.
We do.
Forget to be thankful for where our strength comes from.
It's this constant struggle, you know?
Yeah.
Relying on ourselves versus letting God lead. But Ahab's story, it's a big warning. It's easy to get comfortable with God's goodness and forget about it completely.
Right, and forget to be thankful for it.
Exactly.
So how do we break out of that cycle? How can we have hearts that are really tuned in to God, to His grace in our lives?
One big part is realizing our wins, our successes, our talents, they're not all us. They're gifts from God. It's His grace. And when we get that, it keeps us humble.
Right.
It stops us from taking credit for what's really God's.
It's so easy to think, I earned this or I deserve this.
It is.
When really it's God behind the scenes making things happen, giving us what we need to succeed.
Exactly. And when we lose sight of that, we become proud, arrogant, and we end up disconnected from the source of our strength. We become like Ahab, blind to the miracles, taking God's grace for granted.
Okay, so the lesson is to stay grounded. Remember where our blessings come from.
Right.
Live knowing God's with us, active in our lives. But how? It's one thing to say it, another to actually do it.
You're right. It's not always easy.
Hmm.
But there are things we can do. One of the most important is just being thankful every day. Take a moment to appreciate the good things. Even the small stuff. Don't let them become ordinary. Thank God for what He gives you, for His protection, for His guidance.
That makes a lot of sense. It's like shifting our focus, you know,
yeah,
from what we don't have to what we do have, from what we want to what we've already been given.
And it's not just about saying the words thank you.
Right.
It's about knowing deeply that God's present in everything. Make time to pray, read the Bible, be quiet, and listen for Him.
It's about making space for God, even when we're busy.
Exist.
To remember who He is and who we are in relation to Him.
And another thing, be open to God working in ways you don't expect, through people you don't expect. Don't limit Him with your own small view of things.
It's like that saying, God's ways are not our ways. He does things that surprise us.
He does. And that's where the adventure is. When we let go of our own plans and let God lead, our lives become full of purpose, meaning, joy, things we could never find on our own.
This has been such an eye-opening deep dive. It's incredible how these ancient stories can still teach us so much. It's a challenge to look at Ahab and think, am I doing that too? Am I being complacent, relying on myself too much? If God was willing to do all that for someone like Ahab with all his flaws, what does that mean for us with all our own mess-ups and imperfections?
It really makes you think, doesn't it? It shows how huge God's grace is, how deep his love is, and how much he's committed to his people, then and now.
And on that note, I think we'll wrap up this deep dive. We encourage you to keep thinking about this, how God shows his power and grace in the Bible and in your own life. Until next time.